Thank you guys so much. You can be seated. Cool. Well, I am super excited and honored to be here today just to encourage you in what I like to call today's message, run your race. Pretty simple. I just want to encourage all of us that we have a race to run. We have a mission, a call, and a purpose on our lives. And I want to encourage you today that God's plans are good and that they are for you. Amen. Amen. Well, four takeaways for today. I'll cover them and then we'll get in depth. But number one is stay hydrated. Someone say stay hydrated. I don't know why I expected you to say it before I told you to say it. Somebody say stay hydrated. Say stay together. Stay in rest. And stay focused. Those are the four things we're going to cover as I encourage you guys to run your race today. And the key verse that we'll start with is 1 Corinthians 9:24. And that says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Let me pray and then we'll get into it. Father God, we just love you so much, God, and I'm just so privileged and so honored to be able to stand on this stage today, Lord, and I just ask that your Holy Spirit will use my mouth, my words as a vessel to speak into these people's lives, God, to hear a word in season, Lord, meet them right where they're at, God. I thank you that you are more than able, Lord God, to speak a word for each and every person here, Lord. I lean in on you, Lord, and thank you for your help and your guidance. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, now I'll premise this by saying that I'm not a runner, nor do I support running of any kind. I don't believe in it. I don't see a biblical example of it. Just kidding. But just some fun facts to get us started when it comes to running. And I just want to tell you, if you run, no disrespect. It's just me personally, you know. But some fun facts to get us started. You know the treadmill, that big rolling death machine in the corner of the gym? That was invented originally as a torture method for prison inmates. Not kidding. It was literally invented to torture prison inmates, and it's been torturing people ever since. Seriously. And in the 1960s, this is hilarious. In the 1960s, jogging was so unusual that the police would often pull you over for suspicious activity. I think we need to go back to the 60s. Amen? Amen. I'm ready. But the thing that I love about this verse, I'll read it again for you, is that he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And what I love about this is I'm a very competitive person. I definitely only run if there's a purpose involved, like if I were running from a murderer, maybe not even then. If I was running for like Krispy Kreme donuts, if I smelled them, or like if my wife said my name really aggressively, then I'd run in like a heartbeat. But I love this verse here because he drew a line in the sand here because he says this isn't just a mundane, boring thing. A life with Jesus isn't just something that you sign up for, go through the motions, and just live your everyday normal life. No, he said this race, this life with Jesus is a race. It's a competition. You've got a call. You've got a purpose. And it's not just some boring, mundane thing where we drift through life. No, this is something that we run towards. We run towards Jesus because he has a plan and a purpose on our lives. And we're not here just to coast. We're not here just to drift through life, but we have a mission for people and we have a prize and his name is Jesus. Amen. 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 I forgot to say, you know, if you like anything I say or anything's kind of funny, feel free to just make some noise back at me. You can shout at me, yell at me, preach at white boy, whatever you want. You know, you be led, whatever you feel led to do. But I just love this because I think it's just so fundamental to our faith. And before we go any further, I just want to establish the fact in all of our hearts that God is good. Just like we sang about this morning, I think it is so crucial in our lives that we understand that God is good. Because if we don't, anytime something in life throws at us, anytime something happens, we'll never know whether it's from God or if it's from the devil. We'll never know whether God has a good plan or if he has a plan to harm us. And I think he made it abundantly clear in John 10:10 when he says, the thief has not come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I love that because God drew a line in the sand and he said, is it good? Is it for you? Does it want to prosper you? It's for me. me. Does it want to steal? Does it want to kill? That's from the devil. Some of you this morning, I believe God tells you to look at your situation and say, don't accept that package. Don't accept that bad thing that came to your doorstep. Don't accept that addiction, that struggle. That's from the enemy. God has a higher plan. God has a better call on your life. God's got more for you. Amen. Amen. And just to keep going, I mean, in Romans 8:28, he says, and we know that God works all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And I love this because it's so refreshing to know that when everything looks bad, when it looks like it's not going to work out, we've got a God that's just around the corner that's ready to turn it upside down on his head because he has a good plan. And whatever the enemy meant for evil, he's going to cause it for good. Come on, if somebody believes it, can you shout? Can you give God praise? He's good. He's got a good plan for your life. And I just another verse to encourage you and just to convince you of this truth, man, that God is good and that he's good all the time is Psalms 35:27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Man, how good is that? He just made it so clear right there. If you've ever wondered if God wants you to prosper, if you've ever wondered if God has a good plan, he just told you. He delights in your prosperity. He delights in your joy and in your relationship with him. So are you convinced?
Yes.
Come on, somebody say, God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
Amen. Well, let's dive into it. Number one, stay hydrated. Somebody say, stay hydrated. You know, naturally speaking, if you're a runner, and I'm not, like I stated before, but if you are a runner, I looked this stuff up, I wouldn't know by experience. If you're a runner and you're dehydrated, your body literally can't function anymore. You'll start to cramp, you'll start to fall, you'll lose endurance. Your body needs water to function. And I think that is such a spiritual parallel because we need living water, we need the Word of God, we need God's presence each and every day. And in Matthew 4:4, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, I had a friend once, it's hilarious. I had a friend who loved Dr. Pepper so much that they would drink it for every single meal, every occasion, 24/7. They would drink Dr. Pepper. They'd wake up, they'd drink Dr. Pepper. They'd drink it with lunch. They'd go to bed and they'd drink Dr. Pepper. Until like once every couple of weeks, they said they'd get like really lightheaded and like fainty and like fatiguey. And they'd be like, I'll just chug a glass of water. And then they just go back to doing like what they've always done. They just literally, they're like, oh, I feel kind of sick. I drink a glass of water. Now I'm good. I'll just keep drinking Dr. Pepper. And that's just so funny to me. But I think it's such a picture of what our Christian lives can look like sometimes, where we go through our lives and we wear ourselves out over and over and over again. And then, well, maybe now I should go get some living water. Maybe now that I'm tired, burnt out, I should go get living water. And can I tell you, church, God loves it when we come to him, no matter what it looks like. But that is not a sustainable way to run your race. I love that Jesus compared this to water, because water isn't something you need once a week. It's something you need every single day of your life. We need his presence, church. We need his word if we are going to run this race with endurance. If we're not only going to start but finish, we need to stay hydrated. So let's do a little exercise. When I say, what do you need? I want you to say, water. What do you need?
Water.
That was pretty good. You could do a little better. What do you need?
Water.
It's okay that Michigan lost. What do you need?
Water.
There we go. There we go. We're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. But some naturally speaking, some symptoms that you will get if you're dehydrated and you're trying to run, you'll start to feel fatigued. Your joints will start to hurt. Your immune system will start to weaken. And I think there's so many spiritual parallels here. So like when you're fatigued spiritually, you got no joy in your life. You got no anxiety. You got anxiety in so many situations. What do you need?
Water.
Yeah, you guys are quick. What do you need?
Water.
Your joints hurt, naturally or emotionally speaking. You're overly sensitive. You care too much about what others think of you. You're a people pleaser. You live for the praise of men. What do you need?
Water.
You guys are getting better. I love it. Your immune system is weakened. Every time temptation comes, the enemy comes, you fall right into his trap, repeating the same sin patterns over and over again. The devil keeps eating your lunch day after day. What do you need?
Water.
Man, water is the best medicine. And when I speak of water, obviously I'm speaking of living water. Jesus, his presence, his word. We need it, man. We need it every single day. And if we're going to run our race and we're going to run it well and we're going to run it the way Jesus has called us to, we need his word. We need his presence every day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And in John 14:4, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." I love that. So drink living water. Not just occasionally, but daily. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right, number two is stay together. Somebody say, stay together.
Stay together.
Now, I've been married for about a year, 2 months, 30 minutes, and six, I'm just kidding, I don't know. But about a year now, and I can tell you, man, life is better together. I didn't know how badly I needed a wife until I got one. When we got married, I've gained almost 50 pounds so far. You know why? Because I have somebody that feeds me now. Before, it's like, I might eat, I might not, I don't know. I like smash out like once a day and then I'm done. But having somebody to go through life with is so much better. And all the men said,
amen.
Amen. You know, and just to go down a little rabbit trail here, I'll embarrass myself a little bit. My wife helps me so much just to understand things at a man of my age. You know, one time we were watching TV late at night, And this commercial came up for Jossé Bank, I think is how you say it, the suit company. And we're watching it, and we're like watching the whole thing. It's this really cool like commercial where they're like doing all the clothes and everything. And at the end of it, I go, and I turn to her, and I go, "Man, credit unions must be killing it if banks are selling suits now." Yeah, that was a very embarrassing moment for me. And she, of course, had to correct me. We prayed. I repented. Got back on track, you know, been walking with the Lord ever since, but no, that's just one of the many stories. It's just another one, just since we're on this rabbit trail now. You know the phrase, to each their own, to each their own, do your thing, you do you, you know, that whole expression. I never, like, really heard it. Like, I don't know if this started as a joke or if I actually believe this, but for the longest time, I thought people were saying one word, to each his own. Like, to each his own. Because people say it so fast. Like, why you gotta talk that fast? Like, teach his own, teach his own. Sounds like one word. I don't know if that was a joke or if I actually thought that. Either way, pray for me, you know. But we need people. We need each other in life. Hebrews 10:23-25 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." I love this because this isn't just a church idea. This is a God idea. We need people, not just on Sunday, but each and every single day of our life. You are not created to do life alone. I don't care how strong you think you are. You need somebody to lean on. We all need somebody to lean on. Come on, you know it. So just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. Come on, you guys know I used to be on the worship team. No, I did my thing back in the day. Just kidding. BC, just kidding. But we need people in life, man. People are so important. They're so valuable. You don't need a lot of people. You just need the right people in life. Amen? You need the right people. You need right people who are around you. And I would ask the question to you this morning, are the people in your life pushing you towards who you need to be in Jesus, pushing you towards who you need to be, or are they pulling you away? Because there's no middle ground in life. They either are or they aren't. Do you have the kind of people in your life where even if you wanted to throw your life away, you couldn't? They're like a stalker. Like, by the minute you try to, like, throw your life away, they're calling you every 2 minutes. You're not at church. You're usually here at 9:55 on the dot. We're supposed to have communion, and we're supposed to hang out. Where are you at? Do you have those kind of friends in your life who are just there for you, who will be there, who won't let you just throw your life away? Naturally speaking, when it comes to running, got a lot of running parallels here. I became a runologist to preach this message to you. I don't plan on using any of the information. It's just for spiritual application. But some reasons, naturally speaking, why it's good to run with a partner, and then I think there's some really good spiritual parallels in here, is number one, partners are good pace setters. They help you set your pace. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" You know, this isn't just a marriage idea. This is a relationship idea. And to be equally yoked with somebody doesn't necessarily just mean that they're a Christian. It means to have the same intensity as one another, have the same fervor, the same fire, the same passion for God. Because you can have a lot of friends that are Christian that still compromise your values, who still push you down that wrong road, who still aren't pushing you towards Jesus. So the question is, are the people in your life helping push your pace towards Jesus, helping you become better every single day? Because those are the kind of people who are going to help you to run your race and not just start it, but finish it. Amen? Amen. Amen. We need partners who are good pace setters. Number two is partners make the run fun. Now, I'm a people person, so for some of you introverts, this might be a little bit stretching of a message. But for me, I literally can't be alone for like more than 4 hours without getting a headache. Like, I grow tired of the voice in my head. I give myself a headache. Like, that's how much of a people person I am. So for me, this is like, we need people, you know, people are fun. You need people to laugh with. But for some of you, it might be a little bit more of a stretch, but I just think it's so true. That whether you're in a ditch, you're in a valley, or you're in a mountaintop moment, we all need people who we can laugh with, who can be joyful with, who can pick us up when we're feeling down, that person that can make you laugh no matter what situation you're in. We need those kind of people in life. Amen? Amen. Amen. And number three is partners are great alarm clocks. Now, for you moms out there who can never understand what the heck your kids are talking about, I'm going to help you out here. You know that phrase they always say, like, "Mom, why are you sleeping on me? Why are you sleeping on me? You're always sleeping on me." Well, that's, maybe you do know that term, but it's basically, to translate, it means like catch you slipping or like slacking and all that. So here, partners are great alarm clocks. And I love this picture because we need people in life who are going to pick us up when we're down, who are going to pull us out of that valley when we want to turn the other way, when we want to look back, when the race grows too hard, when we're down on our luck. We need people in our lives to grab us and tell us it's going to be okay. God has a good plan. God wants to prosper you. Keep moving. Keep running. Let me throw you over my shoulders because I know that God's got more ahead for you. Keep moving, keep pushing. We need people in our lives who will do that for us, who will love us like that. Love us how Jesus loved us, putting us on his back and moving forward. We need those kind of people in our lives, and we're going to run this race and not just sleepwalk through it. Amen? Number three is stay in rest. Now, like I said, I would tell you more stories about my running, but I don't really have any. So I'll just tell, I've got plenty on resting, though. Lots on resting. But the last thing I would want you to think is that you've got to run this race on yourself. That you've got to strive. You got to work your way to God. You got to keep doing what you know to do in your own mind. That's no way to go through your Christian life. You're not meant to run this race alone. I love what running while resting looks like in Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." And some of you guys might not have caught that, but I love this because all over the New Testament, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd, the great shepherd. And when you look at Jesus calling himself the good shepherd, you know what that makes us? Sheep. It makes us sheep. Jesus equated us to sheep. He could have picked any animal, like a lion, a bear, like something cool, like an eagle. What does he pick? A sheep. We're sheep. Why? Because I think sheep are a perfect picture of what we as Christians are supposed to look like. Sheep are so helpless by themselves. If you tried to attack a sheep, it wouldn't even have like a defense mechanism. It's just like, bah! Like if you tried to attack it, like, it's got nothing. When was the last time you saw a sheep like striving to get somewhere? Like a sheep like, I'm really determined in life. I gotta do my taxes and do my 9-to-5 job and work super hard to get somewhere. No, sheep do nothing. But that's what he equates us to. You know why? Because sheep are the best followers. And if we're going to talk about running our race, it is never about striving and only about following. Sheep are only good for following. And that's what Jesus calls us to do in this race called life. We cannot strive through life. If you try to strive through your race, you're going to look like me trying to run a mile. It's not pretty. But when you follow his lead, when you understand, I can't do this on my own. I can't make it by myself. I have to follow the shepherd. I love what he said when he called himself the shepherd. Because that made it abundantly clear that our position is simply to follow him. Amen? Amen. Which brings me to my next point. Someone say, stay focused. Stay focused. It says this in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Just want to remind you that when we talk about your mission and we talk about the prize, the mission is people and the prize is Jesus. Boil life down to that. Your mission is people and your prize is Jesus. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Man, there's so much goodness here when it comes to running our race. I love that he says, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That is so beautiful because you didn't start your race and you sure as heck can't finish it. Jesus was the beginning and he will be the end. He is the author and he is the finisher of our journey. So whatever it looks like, you can be confident that Jesus, the one who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion. He has a plan, he has a purpose, and he's leading you step by step. And I love what it says here. It says, consider him, lest you become weary. Is anybody weary in here? I know I can be at times. Anybody tired? I love that. Consider him. And I want to just declare over every weary person in him to consider him. Consider the nails in his hands that he bore for you. Consider the stripes on his back. Are you feeling weary? Consider your Savior who didn't quit, who didn't look back, but he pressed on because he had a job. It was your life on the line. And he kept moving. He kept pushing. And that's our job as Christians, to keep moving, keep following the leader. Amen. Come on, if somebody believes it, can you shout? Can you give God praise? I'll close with this, and the band's already up. Great. How do you do this? I did it. But I love what he said here in John 16, 33. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. Not everything's going to go perfect, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. You ever met a topper? No matter what story they have, they've got something better. Jesus topped it all. He said, take heart, I have overcome the world. So whatever it looks like that you can't overcome, whatever thing is in front of you that seems too big, that seems too strong, Jesus has already said, I've overcome it. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the devil. I've overcome that addiction. I've overcome that sickness. So you better believe that the God who's in this room has gone before you has a plan, a purpose on your life, and he is going to bring it to completion when it seems too hard, when it seems like there's nothing left. Keep moving forward. God has more for you. He has a plan. He has a purpose, and he will bring it to completion. Come on, give God.